Hare Krishna, Japa Book, Chapter 14, Progressing from Nishta to Ruchi, the consciousness of one at the level of Nishta. Why do we chant Krishna's holy names? What moves us to chant? Is it because it feels good, because we promised we would, because chanting has become our habit? Despite any public response we might have to this question, those who contemplate the question seriously probably have a private response to it as well. That private response reflects the level of our advancement. In his Madhurya Kadambini, page 59, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes the consciousness of a devotee fixed in their shelter, surrendered to Krishna, devotees at the level of Nishta. At the stage of Nishta, he says, one could detect the spiritualization of the consciousness in many ways, but the materialistic influence is still prominent, prayasika. At Nishta, there is still a trace of abhas, of attraction to mundane topics, but although, quote, traces of the qualities born of Rajagun and Tamagun may be present, they no longer affect the devotee. Madhurya Kadambini, page 35. These lingering effects may not impel a fixed soul to perform inappropriate activities. Nonetheless, they are troublesome because they conflict with the purity of his heart, just as the grit of sand on the floor hampers the feeling of auspiciousness one has in an otherwise clean room. Complete purity means removing even the smallest grains of sand, quote, sand, from the consciousness. Srila Prabhupada writes, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 12.135 in his purport. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleaned the outside of the temple, fearing that the grains of sand would again come within. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activities, sometimes the subtle desire for fruitive activities again comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity, but the contamination is so strong that it may later develop into misunderstanding, described as kutinati, fault-finding, and pratishta. Pratishtasa, the desire for name and fame and for high position, jivahimsa, envy of other living entities, nisidachara, accepting things forbidden in the shastra, kama, desire for material gain, and puja, hankering for popularity. The word kutinati means duplicity. As an example of pratishtasa, one may attempt to imitate Srila Haridas Thakur by living in a solitary place. One's real desire may be for some name and fame. In other words, one thinks that fools will accept one to be as good as Haridas Thakur just because one lives in a solitary place. These are all material desires. A neophyte devotee is certainly to be attacked by other material desires as well, namely desires for women and money. In this way, the heart is again filled with dirty things and becomes harder and harder, like that of a materialist. End of citation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Hearing and chanting Krishna's holy names in the association of devotees causes our Krishna conscious desires to increase. Our humility then deepens as we become painfully aware of whatever impurities still remain hidden in our hearts. We may still have desires springing from our long association with passion and ignorance. But devotees on the level of Nishta do not wish to cultivate those desires. They don't want them fulfilled. Rather, they deeply desire only to attain Krishna's service. Their sincere desire for him attracts Krishna to purify them further and award taste, which is Ruchi. The journey from Nishta to Ruchi. In the fifth chapter of his Madhurya Kadambini, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an illuminating description of the journey from Nishta to Ruchi. What can I say? This is the quotation. What can I say? I am unfortunate, for I am the lowest criminal. Though I have received the mercy of my spiritual master, I have not understood its proper value. Instead, I have been wandering everywhere, and in that way I have wasted my life. Keeping a precious jewel tied in the hem of my cloth, I have been searching out a cracked cowrie, a spot of false happiness between the banks of the river of material engagements. Not practicing any anger of bhakti, I've simply manifest lack of energy. So deceitful am I, such is my taste for, such is my sense of taste, that I lick up acrid tasting profane gossip like nectar, and remain apathetic to hearing the names, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. How unfortunate I am! When I start to hear about the Lord, I comfortably fall asleep, and at any moment, and at any opportunity for vulgar discussion, I prick up my ears and become wide awake. In this way, I've contaminated the assembly of devotees and everything else. Old and bent as I am, what sinful act have I not performed simply for the satisfaction of my insatiable belly? I do not know what type of hell I'll have to suffer in for all my activities. End of citation. In this way, the devotee despairs over his previous states of consciousness, feeling real disgust. Then, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes it, the devotee, in a remote place like a swan, begins to taste and reverently speaks nectarian Krishna Katha. Quote, the juice from the fruit of the desire tree, the great Upanishad, the Srimad Bhagavatam, which teaches the mystery of the science of bhakti. End quote. He talks constantly with devotees, excluding any topic related, not related to Krishna. First like a curious spectator, then standing closer, then sitting, and finally entering into the discussion with full attention. He also takes refuge in the Lord's Dham and fixes himself purely in the Lord's service. Ignorant people think that he has gone mad. The blissful devotional service performed by the expert devotees is like a dance. Quote, and the devotee begins to learn the steps of that dance. Then his hands being caught by that dance's instructress, Ruchi, he learns everything, experiencing an extraordinary, unprecedented, unimaginable golden bliss that cannot be described. End quote. Acquiring taste for Krishna's holy names. Devotees at the level of Nishtha have taken full shelter of Krishna and his holy names. Yet their chanting is not yet pure, for they are still plagued by lingering, subtle, and even gross desires for things in this world. But rather than cultivating those desires, they decry them. This is not what I want. I'm such a fool. I suffer unlimitedly due to my impure heart, which still reeks from my petty, selfish desires, as an empty bottle still reeks of the wine that once filled it. End quote. The humble yet firm resolve to become free of any desire other than the desire to serve Krishna coats their chanting. To gain strength, they take deeper shelter in the mercy of Krishna's holy names. Their humility and dependence increases, and the intensity of their desire to serve Krishna also increases. The mercy of Krishna's holy names flows to such sincere chanters and increases the purity of their desire for unmotivated devotional service, bhakti ahituki. In summary, one should chant Krishna's holy names with ever-deepening humility and dependence on the holy name's mercy. By prayerfully chanting in this mood, recognizing one's lack of qualification, yet desiring nothing but to attain Krishna's service, and urgently begging in the form Krishna in the form of his holy names to purify the heart, Krishna will award one ruchi, taste, by his own causeless mercy. In his fourth Shikshastaka verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the consciousness of one who chants Krishna's names on the level of ruchi. Nadanam najanam dasundarim kavitam va jagadishakamai mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir haitiki tvai. O Lord of the universe, I do not desire material wealth, materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruit of activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmerited, unmotivated devotional service to you. Cited from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antilila, chapter 20, text 29. That's the end of Japa book, chapter 14. Hare Krishna.